Can y'all hear me? Good? Awesome. All right, I'm going to open us up in prayer. Creator God, thank you for this lovely morning, and thank you for bringing us all here together. I pray that as we sit here and sing songs and hear a message and just in fellowship and worship of you, that we can just let whatever is bugging us from this week just kind of fade into the background, and we can let this truly be a time of meditation on you and your love and what you have for us in the future. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So I'm also going to start us off with reading our scripture for today, which is in your bulletin. It comes from Mark 15. It says, "At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. At 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' When some of those standing near heard this, they said, 'Listen, he's calling Elijah.' Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. 'Leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes down to take him,' he said. And then with a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last." So, as people, what they think of church or Christians today, and some of the answers are not positive. You'll hear words like stuffy, judgmental, irrelevant. And why is that? Why is a group that's supposed to be categorized by love and acceptance instead called words such as stuffy and judgmental? And I believe the answer lies in that the church has forgotten how to form lasting relationships. Now, when I say relationships here, I mean an umbrella term that encapsulates friendships, family ties, romantic relationships, all of that. And it's also important to note when I'm talking about the church here, I'm talking about the body of believers, not necessarily the building or the institution. So, for instance, when I say church, I mean us gathered here. I don't necessarily mean Shrine of the Ages building. So, there are several articles floating around that bemoan the millennial generation and their lack of communication and ability to form lasting relationships. And I don't think this lack of communication has missed the church as well. Now take a look at the relationships in your own life. What are the most genuine relationships you have? Are they with people who only know what's on your Instagram or Facebook feed or only get your Christmas card once a year? Or are your most genuine relationships people who know your ugly thoughts, your bad deeds, along with your triumphs and your good times? I know for myself, my deepest relationships are often former roommates who have seen me day in and day out in the good times and the bad times. And so to me, it seems in order to have a deep relationship with someone is to see the messy parts of their life and is to see someone when they are most vulnerable. To reference the movie Shrek, Shrek is an ogre and he's talking to his friend Donkey and he's saying, "Ogres are like onions. They have layers. You have to peel them back one bit at a time." And so I think people are kind of like that. There's layers to different people and like how deep you can get to know someone. In the English language, there are even words for these different layers of relationships. There's a person can be a coworker, they can be an acquaintance, they can be a friend, a dear friend. When it comes to dating, you can be a thing, you can be dating, you can be Facebook official. In my generation, it's a big deal when you're Facebook official. So to be vulnerable with someone is an expression of love, where you're willing to peel back a layer of who you are, and that person loves and accepts you for that. So now what does this vulnerability that we're talking about have to do with God? God is this great divine character in our lives, right? Nothing can disable God. Well, if you look at humanity, we're actually quite the opposite. In fact, we're quite mortal. We die, we sin, we suffer. And if we are to have a relationship with God, we are too often vulnerable in that relationship when we pray and just reveal our struggles to God. And if God is to have a legitimate, genuine relationship with humanity, God's going to have to be vulnerable as well. The divine is going to have to suffer and die. So this is the part of the sermon where I see if y'all have been paying attention. Can anyone think of a time when God came down and suffered and died? Shout it out. Jesus, yes, you got it. So Jesus, When God incarnate, or God in the flesh, entered the world, he experienced the joys and the defeats that life can bring. And Jesus also died on the cross. Now, remembering that vulnerability is an expression of love, when Jesus entered death on the cross, death became part of the existence of love between Father and Son. And because the love of Father and Son is the origin of all love and creation in general, when death became part of the love between Father and Son on the cross, I'm going to quote a theologian, Andrew Root, here. He says, quote, "Those who experience death, or humanity, us, are taken into the compassionate love of God. Though they may die or feel death's many stings, they are embraced in the love of the Father to Son. Those who suffer, suffer with God. They never suffer alone, but between the love of Father and Son," end quote. So again, just to reiterate, because this is a big concept, when Jesus died on the cross, God also felt suffering and died. So when we suffer and we experience death and death's many stings in this life, we can know that God in Christ is with us because of what happened on the cross. So, as many of you remember, after the crucifixion came the resurrection, the ascension, and the Pentecost, you know, when the tongues of fire descended on the disciples, that story. And historically, the Pentecost is the beginning of the church, and relating back to my original statement I opened up my sermon with, is how people feel the church can be stuffy or judgmental. We have also looked at why vulnerability is needed between relationships and how vulnerability was expressed between God and humanity through the cross. And now I believe it's time to take that vulnerability into the church. Again, to quote Andrew Root, he says, quote, "How is it that the church has gotten a reputation for being a place where you have to have your crap together to belong, a church that cannot share relationships with others?" End quote. It is important to remember that Jesus isn't looking for us to pretend to be perfect, because frankly, we're not, like if we're honest with ourselves. Jesus is looking for us to be genuine and to be authentic. And part of that is coming to grips with our sins and with our struggles. In Matthew 23, Jesus scolds the Pharisees. He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law, Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will be clean. First look in yourself and what you are struggling with and address yourself. Then you can reach out to others." In another sermon preached by my friend Megan, she stressed the church needs to have vulnerability with one another and to draw closer to God through brokenness expressed through vulnerability. As she coined the term, the church needs to have holy vulnerability. A place in my life where I experienced the church with holy vulnerability was while serving with a Christian ministry in the national parks. I did this 3 summers ago back in Yellowstone. And again, like Pastor Bob said, I worked housekeeping in Yellowstone, and then on Sundays I helped lead church services for guests and employees. So before this experience, as a Christian, I felt immense pressure to have my life together, to be perfect, to put on a certain image. And I feared that others or God wouldn't love me because I sinned and went through trials and had struggles. And while at Yellowstone, I was like, this is a seasonal job. I'm gonna drop this ridiculous persona and see what happens. And like act as a human being who's broken and messed up. And to my great surprise, my fellow ministry comrades still accepted and they cherished me and they loved me. This love and acceptance had both an impact on myself as well as my coworkers around me. For myself, this acceptance led me, I felt more confident in my faith and I developed a deep community with those around me, something I hadn't really felt in the church before. And I felt confident to identify as a Christian and be like, yes, this is like truly who I am. I was able to fully live the identity as a Christian. And for our fellow coworkers, they saw that love and authenticness, and they were like, what's that about? And they like became curious, you know, like what made us, they called us the God Squad. They were curious what made us different from the rest of our coworkers. So kind of a conversation I had towards the end of the summer kind of wraps up kind of what that whole summer was about for me. I was talking to my good friend Ava. We're on a hike in the Beartooth Mountains. They're just on the northeast side of Yellowstone. And we were just talking about our team, talking, you know, people were starting to leave. It was the end of the summer. And she was like, you know, I really like you all as a group of Christians, and I've never really liked Christians before. She said she had felt judged in the past by Christians because she was Unitarian and she was gay. But with our team, she didn't feel any of that. She felt, again, acceptance and non-judgment. And she ended her sort of spiel to me by saying, I don't really know who this Jesus person is, but I feel like he would have been proud of you all. So that was a pretty big, like, oh, moment for me. And I was like, wow, this is really what, like, just loving people can do for them. And scripture further speaks on this transformative love of God. 1 John 4 can be quoted as saying, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. And so as we can see with my personal story, before going to Yellowstone, part of being a Christian was being in fear of judgment and punishment from both the people in the church and the people outside the church. But as there is no fear in love, because perfect love drives out fear, experiencing the love from my ministry team gave me confidence in my faith and also brought people who are traditionally marginalized by society, such as my coworker, into the folds of the church. She came to our service almost every Sunday and, like, interacted with us. She was great. And as you can see, this also had a really big impact because I'm here for a second summer with ACMMP here in the Grand Canyon, serving my coworkers here. And for those of you who have been to a service, thank you for coming this summer. We really appreciate it. So there lies a seed of truth in every stereotype. And in order for the church to shed their judgmental, irrelevant stereotype, I'm going to call on the church, you all, as body of believers, to do several things. The first is to acknowledge your morality, acknowledge that we all sin, there will be suffering, and eventually we all die. The second part is to recognize vulnerability and love that God showed us through the death of Jesus on the cross. Pretty big, important. We have this up front every Sunday, and it's pretty central to what we believe. And the third part is to take the vulnerability shown by God and to have that vulnerability in relationships with others in order to get through the struggles that life brings. To quote another theologian, Douglas John Hall, he says that the gospel does not deny the darkness of this world, but instead, quote, provides enough light for us to make our way within it one step at a time, end quote. If the church does this, Christianity may one day again have the impact of not only the community around the church, but in the lives of the Christians themselves. Community healing can happen when the church asks for people to live through everyday struggles together, to be inclusive, to love, not to love to convert, and to have an acknowledgement of the struggles of life and to see God within them. Meanwhile, personal healing can happen for those who are going through trials and suffering, for God loves us, again, through our suffering, for God suffered on the cross. It is my hope that the church, as a body of believers, can see this truth and start to create genuine relationships with God and with one another. And in these relationships, I pray we will be able to acknowledge death, we can acknowledge our brokenness, and through that we can draw closer to the love of God. For it is through death that God showed us his ultimate gift of love through Jesus. Amen. Thank you.